Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, hello, everyone. I want to tell you about this product that I love. It's called BarkBox, and I've talked about it the last couple episodes. I basically stalked them to try and get them to be a sponsor or an affiliate to my podcast because I've talked numerous times about my maniac dog, Ruthie, aka RBG. I think I said in the last episode that she ate two giant chocolate Easter bunnies and I thought she was going to die and had to, I mean, this is just like typical of Ruthie. She's not good. She needs help. She needs help. I love this dog to pieces. I started using a product. It's a monthly delivery service called BarkBox, and they send organic treats and toys. And because Ruthie is a Labrador and my other Labrador, Rosie, is a saint, they both can trade off their treats and play with them. And they love the toys that they get every month. So if you go to barkbox.com/judgingMegan, you can sign up for a subscription and you can either get a 6 month or a year subscription. And then you get a month free if you use my code at the end of your 6 to 1 year subscription. Does that make sense? I'm really not plugging them in a great way today, but I love BarkBox and I hope you do too. Okay, everyone, I am starting the show today. I need to tell you, I am so excited for my trip. I'm about to go to Charleston, South Carolina, to see my family. My youngest cousin is getting married, and I don't know about you, and I might bring my guest in right now to ask her about this, but every time that I am with my family, I'm so excited to see them. We are a skosh dysfunctional. Love them, especially on the plane ride there. Can't wait. Love them. 2 days in, like I can't drink enough Chardonnay and I need to come back home. But I always revert back to my place in like where I stand in like growing up, right? So I have two older sisters and a younger brother.
And I revert back to like 13-year-old Megan. And I don't know. I'm going to ask Marsha. Marsha, are you from a big family? Can you relate to what I'm saying right now? I don't know why, but I turn into like 13-year-old Nightmare Megan. There's always some kind of screaming fight. I don't know. You tell me. Does that happen to you too?
Not really. So there were only three of us in our family. So
okay. So you're way more functional, and like you're doing the right thing in your family, because I am so immature. My brother has teased me from like the moment I came out, like from the time he came out, he's 3 years younger. And when we were kids, he would always tease me and call me Andre the Giant. It was a wrestler. So when I would walk, he would go boom, baba, boom, baba, boom, baba. Like he's teased me forever, and he still can get on my last nerve. And it's just the most irritating thing ever. But I must tell you, I cannot wait to see all my aunts and uncles. I love Charleston. Shout out Charleston, South Carolina, my favorite city in the whole country. And I'm excited for you to meet my guest today, Marsha Moran. She is a stroke survivor, an author, a speaker, and a coach. And I also told her all around cool lady is how I was going to introduce her. So welcome, Marsha.
Welcome. Thank you, Megan.
I love your wall. Is that a real wall behind you?
No.
Oh, it's a set. Okay. By the way, yeah. Everyone. Oh, that's so cool. I need something like that. I am now going to be sending these episodes to YouTube. So if you're not already annoyed enough by my speaking voice, you can hear it again and see me with no makeup on today and my hair in a ponytail. And Marsha looks beautiful, but I don't, on YouTube. So check it out. Marsha, I have been in contact with you for, I feel like, over a year. Is that accurate? Long time.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've been trying to figure out dates. And I have wanted to do an episode about strokes for a while, because I think I don't know a whole lot about it. And you sent me your book. Your book is called Stroke Forward. And I am looking forward. I shouldn't even say that. I am looking forward to learning about like what a stroke is. I know a little bit about it, but I know my audience, it's something that you obviously have knowledge of because you're a survivor. But I want to start out with like your early life. Where are you from?
Huh. That's an interesting question. My dad is from North Dakota. My mom is from Washington. So I'm from both.
Okay.
And are back and forth.
Are you still like, where are you living these days?
Virginia.
Oh, I knew I liked you. You know, I'm from DC originally. So I like my neighboring state, Virginia. Yeah. It's a beautiful state. What part of Virginia?
Centerville. So we're just 10 miles.
Oh,
south.
You're outside of DC. My sister used to live in Centerville near the airport.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me about your life growing up. Happy?
Oh, yeah. I was a happy kid. A lonely child, because living on the farm, there wasn't anyone else around us. And then we went to Seattle and I went to school out there. And I was still kind of lonely because I was different from everybody else.
Yeah. Growing up on a farm, it was probably isolating, but let me ask you, do you love that you grew up on a farm? Do you love animals?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. That's like my dream. I love animals. I really do. Not all animals, but like most, like I think I wouldn't want to have to do the chores of growing up on a farm, but it just sounds on paper and in my head and in like my dreams, I picture myself in Yellowstone, the TV show, but like I'm not beat up like Beth, or it's not messed up like that, but I picture myself living in the show Yellowstone. So you had a life of like happy childhood growing up on a farm, settled in Virginia. Are you married? Do you have children?
Yes. I have a husband of 34 years and no children, but I have two cats and a bird.
Okay. Well, those are your pet children. And 34 years is a long time. So congratulations. Let's talk about why you came on today, which is a little bit about like having a stroke, like what the signs are. I really have guests come on a lot of times just to educate. And I think that there's so much like lack of information on this that I would love for you to kind of talk about it.
Okay. So I had my stroke 8 years ago and I didn't know what was going on. And my husband didn't know what was going on. So you need to remember be fast. So B is for balance, E is for eyes. So if you have something funky going on with their eyes and they're not working well, something, it might be a stroke. F is for face, A is for arm or leg, S is for slurring speech, and T is for time. It's time to call 911. So if you have any of these that are going on, you're better off calling the hospital and getting in to see them or calling 911 and getting the paramedics out to see you, because every minute a person has a stroke, it is 1.9 million cells that are dying.
How did you know, like what for you 8 years ago, what were your symptoms?
So I was laying in bed when I had my stroke. My husband had gone up and gone downstairs already. So when I woke up, I knew that I felt funny. So I said, I'm not going to get up. I'm just going to go back to sleep, but I better call text Rochelle to tell her that I wasn't going to meet her for breakfast. And I couldn't read the text. It was all jumbly. I thought, well, that's weird. So I put the phone down and I rolled over, and that's when I got my headache. And I'm going to say for me, that was the most excruciating headache imaginable.
Was it a frontal lobe headache? Like just so because my audience can't see, where was the headache?
So I remember it hurt right here in the
front of your head.
So it's the left hand. Now my stroke was just before my left ear.
Okay.
But it hurt at the front of my head.
And so like what I don't understand, and this is just like, I'm in kindergarten and know nothing about what a stroke is. I know I'm terrified of having one. I understand that they're very common. What caused your stroke?
So I had an carotid artery dissection, and 1 to 2% of people have it. So it's very rare. And all that means is that my carotid artery tore apart and it created a clot, mm-hmm. and the clot moved up to my brain.
So is that the most common cause of strokes is carotid arteries?
No, the most common. Yeah. So the most common stroke is ischemic, and that's when a blood clot gets in your brain and kind of clogs it up. The second, and that was 87%. The second stroke is a hemorrhagic stroke, and that's when the brain bleeds. And that is 13%.
Okay. And yours was like a rare, one of the most rare kind.
Yeah.
Okay. And were you like, did you know, had you gone to the doctor and known that you had this or had physicals or anything like that?
No.
So that's so important. Like for me, I go to a doctor, I get like a yearly physical, and high cholesterol runs in my family. My mom has high cholesterol. I don't think my sisters, I don't know if they do or not, but I do. And I'm borderline. So I kind of like change my diet to not eating meat. And I've done a lot of stuff. And then I tried intermittent fasting, and like an idiot, I was drinking these things so then it went back up again.
So my question is, it's so common that people are not getting physicals and have no idea. Was your artery issue caused by cholesterol? Was it a genetic issue? No, it was just a freak thing.
It was just a freak accident. Okay. So I had, my cholesterol was in the normal range. I had had issues with blood pressure, but it was down in the normal range. Uh-huh. I was working out every day. I ran 3 or 4 times a week. There's no way anyone could know that I was going to have a stroke.
And you were fairly young. I mean, if it was 8 years ago, you were young. So yeah, you don't have to disclose your age. We're all 30. We're all 30 years old for the rest of our life. But the reason I'm asking this is because I don't think that people understand what causes a stroke, like why the different reasons are. So you're not, I didn't mean to interrupt your story, but you looked down, you had blurred vision, put the phone down. You had, I don't know, is Rochelle your cook or something?
No, she's just a friend.
A friend was coming over. Okay. And then what was the next thing that happened?
So I went to sleep, and when I woke up the next time, my right side was paralyzed. And I knew that something was wrong, so I had to find help. And so the only way to find help was to go find it. And that meant I had to get to the door and out the room. So I fell onto the floor and dragged myself across the carpet to the door, which was closed. And then I had to reach up and grab the handle. And I don't know how many times I reached up because it was just out of my grasp. And I finally got it open. I took a long break because I was tired. And then I finally started down the hall, and I ran out of gas when I was in the hall. Just none. I don't know what it was, but something went crash. My husband came upstairs. He looked at me and said, "Marcia, are you okay?" And it's like, that's the time I realized I couldn't speak.
Oh,
like
no.
That thing.
Yeah.
So he called 911, and the paramedics got there in 5 to 10 minutes. They were really fast.
So is that another sign? It's your right side of your body is, mm-hmm. or is correct? Is yeah. that one so, of the signs of a stroke is the right side, or does it could it be either side?
It can be either side. So I had my stroke on my left side, so the right side was paralyzed.
Okay.
So if
and
I
then
had,
you
had
loss of speech is another. So then, when you say be fast, this period of time, how long were you having these symptoms?
I don't know, because it actually happened when I was asleep.
Okay. And is that common? Is this like usually when people have strokes, does it happen in their sleep? Can it happen anytime?
It can happen anytime.
Okay. So you got to the hospital quickly. And
yes.
then what happened from there?
So I actually lost consciousness in the ambulance. So I don't know how long I was at the hospital, but when I woke up, I was dressed in a lovely hospital gown.
Yeah.
I had a needle in my arm, and my husband was there. And I think I smiled because, you know, my husband was there. So I was thinking, okay, everything is going to be fine. But I still didn't know it was a stroke, really.
And so what did they do? Like, how did they take care of you, and how long were you in the hospital?
So I was in the hospital for 5 days.
Wow.
And there's really not much that they could do to take care of me, other than I was on a liquid diet. And that was interesting. So I couldn't swallow because I'd been paralyzed. You don't think about it, but the entire side is paralyzed. So I couldn't swallow. So when I was drinking fluid, I would drink, I'd turn my head to the left, then I would swallow, then I would face forward again. So the interesting thing for me is when I was at the hospital, the their kitchen sent up a chicken lunch. And I'm going, ooh, chicken. I can eat
it. Yeah.
And I did, and I choked. Because I'm not supposed to have anything that's not a liquid.
Wow. So are you, so once you had all these symptoms, did they put you in after the 5 days, did they put you into physical therapy? Like, do you still have symptoms now, post your 8 years of being recovered from the stroke?
Yeah. So, they actually started therapy on me that first day I was there. Mm-hmm. They took me for a walk around the nurse's station. After the hospital, I went to a rehab hospital for 2 weeks. I went home for 2 weeks. I had rehab as an outpatient for 6 weeks. And I was out of insurance at that point. Now, the interesting thing is when you are out of insurance, you're still not well. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a physical therapist for a year before I could physically walk normally. Now, I say that because people looking at me on the street can't tell that I had a stroke.
Today. Yeah.
But I can tell. So my right side is still funny. So the right foot is cramping all the time. And the right hip and shoulder are still, and I'm saying a very little achy. Because when I had, if you were scaling how much someone says on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does this hurt? I can tell you what a 10 is now.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do? Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
So it was excruciating pain getting back to
for years. Yeah. So when the pain hurts, it doesn't hurt that much. Like it's so minimal now, I can just ignore it.
Is your speech and everything else still back to normal or?
Yeah. So
okay.
I had aphasia. And aphasia is where you can't speak, read, or write. Now, I could read, but I couldn't speak. And so I had the words right here, thinking about them, but I couldn't get them out of my mouth. And the National Aphasia Association says that if you have aphasia and you are not better in 3 months, you probably have it for life. Okay. I didn't like that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful thinking about not being able to say what you really think for life. Now you can't get better. So I started looking for something, you know, something will get me better. I know it will. Well, I didn't actually know, but 3.5 years after my stroke, I found something. And it's this, it's an IASIS microcurrent no feedback device.
Okay. So talk about what that is. It's my audience can't see it, but it's IASIS.
Right. So okay. It's a microcurrent neurofeedback device. And so I'll tell you the first time I went into the doctor and he said, you should really look this up. And he gave me the website and it's microcurrentneurofeedback.com. So I went home and I looked at it and I went, this is interesting. It treats all these things like anxiety and depression and all sorts of things. But the interesting thing is it says that it will treat 85% of traumatic brain injury survivors.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I thought, I know it's not a traumatic brain injury, but I'm going to try it. So I went in, said, okay, set me up. And he set me up. Okay. So first of all, the pace he used to connect the electrodes to my head felt like cat spit.
What does that mean? Like it hurt or?
It's wet. It's gummy. Oh. It's sticky.
Yeah.
So he put them on my head, turned the machine on, and I felt nothing. I went, okay.
Yeah.
Is he kidding me? You know? So I went home. That day I could speak a little bit better.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So essentially what it does is it uses like 1/100th of a AA battery. So it's very small energy that pulses into your brain. And it disrupts your brain waves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing because I had post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Right. And so my brain waves got it's like, oh, what is this? It's something new. And they went out of whack and then they went back into whack. I'm describing it wrong, but essentially what it does is it rewires your brain back to its normal function.
Which I've heard of this before for, because my diagnosis is complex PTSD stemming from my childhood. So a little bit different, but I have heard of microcurrent or whatever the feedback can, it's being used with people with PTSD, complex PTSD and depression. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what science and what these things can do to help us, right? Isn't it just crazy how what the brain is capable of? Let me ask you just to go backwards a little bit. So to know in your brain that you can't say a word, but you want to say a word, and you're trapped in this space in your head, and you know there's something wrong, or you know you couldn't see the phone, or you knew you couldn't get up and you were trying to, that is got to be the scariest thing. And it's, to me, it reminds me of, very different, but just getting a diagnosis of like dementia or Alzheimer's and knowing that you're in the initial stages and you're having memory loss and you're going through all this stuff, but you know, in your head, you might never be the same. Right. Yeah. And how powerful and how powerful our brains are and how amazing they are. And then to have a device like that, to be able to get you back to where you are today. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's like, it's kind of a miracle.
Well, I'm not the same as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. So before the IASIS device, I had what I wanted to say and couldn't say. And I had things that I might be able to say if I knew you, if I wasn't tired, I wasn't cranky, things like that. But sometimes I couldn't say anything. And it became really frustrating, you know, even with my husband. Sometimes I couldn't say anything.
Like being in a prison, right? And being like in a prison and causing also depression, I would assume, correct?
So I didn't have, I didn't have depression. And I really don't think I did.
Okay.
But the IASIS device, when I started using it, it pulled the two parts together and I could speak. So what I think is what I say.
Wow. That's wild.
And so I had 16 sessions. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think of it, 16 sessions. And I had like two sessions a week for like a few weeks. That's not very much time. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, are people, okay, so there's so little known, I believe, about strokes and about like what people can do. What are some of the things that people can do to prevent a stroke? Or I know you talked about be fast in the beginning, but it seems to me like it can happen so quickly and there's no warning. Can you talk about that?
So diet is one thing. So people need to make sure that they're working from something other than the American diet, because the American diet is just...
What are some foods that you would recommend? And should I not be doing the keto diet right now?
Oh, you can do keto.
Okay. Well, reason I'm asking though is because I'm so paranoid about thankfully, knock on wood, I'm a pretty healthy person like you. I work out all the time. But that's genetic. We all have things that we inherit, right? And I've read up that if you're doing keto, it's high in cholesterol. But then I try to do the intermittent fasting with it. What are some of the things that you would recommend eating?
So fresh fruits and veggies, organic if you can. Fresh meat, organic if you can. And they say don't eat red meat too much. I actually am eating no meat at all right now. I eat it sporadically, but not much. Fish if you can. I don't eat desserts. I don't eat bread.
Marcia, do you drink a buttery Chardonnay like I do? Do you drink alcohol? My audience knows I talk about my passion for a buttery Chardonnay. I'm being silly, but I know alcohol is not great for you.
So alcohol is fine in moderation.
Yeah.
I will say that if you drink 4 or 5 glasses in a short time, like in a 2-hour window, you increase your stroke chance by 39%.
Why? Why is that? And that's also terrifying.
It's probably because it closes down your arteries. Yeah.
Oh, that's so scary. I didn't know that. Okay, so 4 to 5 glasses in an hour, you said?
An hour or two, yeah.
Wow.
So that would be considered heavy drinking.
Okay.
I drink an occasional glass of wine, sometimes two.
Okay.
But I try not to drink that much anymore, because actually drinking wine lowers the neuroplasticity in your brain.
This is all bad news for a lover of a buttery Chardonnay. Why can't there just be like happy news? Joking.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, so, but I understand. Like, yeah. So important.
Do I want wine or neuroplasticity? Wine, yeah. Neuroplasticity. I guess yeah. I'm going to drink
no more wine.
Less. No, sometimes, yeah. sometimes.
Occasional wine. Okay. What about exercise?
Oh, exercise is key. You have to exercise.
So can exercise like prevent a stroke?
It can be part of it. Yes.
Okay.
So if you exercise, if you eat right, and of course I'm saying this and I still had a stroke, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but you were the lower percentage.
Yep. So exercise, eating right. You know, it's good for meditation is also good, believe it or not.
And why is that?
I think because you're building up your brain. And so if you can think of meditation as doing something for 5 or 10 minutes every single day as part of your routine, uh-huh. It's a good thing for being healthy. Smoking is bad.
I hope that nobody smokes anymore. I have a dear friend that still smokes and I literally want to like kidnap her cigarettes. I don't understand why people smoke still.
Yeah. I don't make.
What are there kinds of exercise besides meditation that can help? And also, do you suggest people go to have their yearly physicals and have their artery? Like my doctor is very thorough and he checks everything. So I get like a, you know, like, what is it called? Like a CT scan. I do all of that because I'm very paranoid. Lost my dad in his 40s. So I think, yeah. So for me, I'm just like, I've always been like this. Like if I get a bug bite, I think I'm dying. You know, like I just want to make sure that everything is checked out and I'm okay.
So first of all, what did your dad die of?
My dad died of leukemia. So leukemia is a kind of cancer that is not hereditary from what I understand.
Okay.
But I still think in your subconscious, you know, if you lose a parent young and you're in that age range, you obviously in the back of your mind go, it makes you paranoid. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely go and have your annual checkup at the doctor.
Okay.
And if they find something, do something about it. Don't say, mm-hmm. I'll get to that later. Cause you never know.
Yeah.
And I forgot what you asked.
I just asked, I don't even know either, but I wanted to know. So it's, you're 8 years out. How, like, what are some things, are you scared that you could have another one? Like, what are some of the things that you do? Was it just like a one-off thing?
So I'm not scared. And the reason I'm not scared is because you can be afraid and think about it every single day, right?
Okay.
All day long. Or let it pop into your mind throughout the day. That's a waste of time for me, right? So I could say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to live every life, every day as I can to its fullest. And if I have another stroke, I'll deal with it.
So if be I don't it, have right?
an, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I don't have another stroke, yay!
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's such good advice too. I used to be, I think during COVID or over the past couple of years, I've really changed. Just, I think my bout with like debilitating, like depression, all the things that I went through, I used to be so afraid of everything. And I think that's good advice because like living your life in fear that something could happen is that's not living your life, right? Mm-hmm. So living your life, doing some of the things that you do now, which we'll talk about to help others. Tell me why you decided to write your book.
Oh, so on my first anniversary of my stroke, mm-hmm. I thought I'd write a book. And I know.
Nobody can see it right now.
But I know.
No. I'm telling my audience because maybe this will be on YouTube if you want to watch it again, but it's called Stroke Forward. Is that you on the mountain?
No, it's not me.
Okay. Because I was like, you're very brave.
Well, excuse me. I'd say before my stroke, it could be. After my stroke, maybe not.
Yeah.
So I decided to write a book because 8 years ago, there's no way of finding any information about strokes. So I read one book, and that's all I could find. It's like, there's got to be more. So this is a book about how stroke impacts a person, the people around her, and some of her doctors. And hopefully it provides enough information to begin helping someone if they're in the situation that my husband was in. And as, shoot, my wife had a stroke, now what do I do?
Right. Yeah, tell me about your husband. How did he deal with that? That must have been really hard.
So first of all, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be in his shoes. So he did very well. He didn't show any sign of fear when he was in the room, which was probably important to me. Yeah. He wasn't too fearful until he heard that something like choking on my chicken could kill me. Then he was afraid.
Yeah, that's
and that's when he called my sister and asked if she and her husband would come and spend the weekend with us. And that was a big thing because she's a CPA, and this was in March. And she said, done, coming out.
Yeah.
So he is a really good caregiver. Unfortunately, 8 years out, I would like it to be less of a caregiver.
Yeah, well, he's probably so scared because he loves you so much. That must have been so traumatizing for him, you know?
It really was.
So in the book, you talk about what like a spouse or a partner can do to help. You talk about the signs of stroke. What are some of the other things you talk about? Your doctors, and where can people find this book, by the way?
Okay. They can find the book on Amazon.com. And I guess the thing that I find most interesting is it by having different people talk about the stroke, it tells them what their perception is. So I had a different perspective than my husband. Mm-hmm. He had a different perspective than my sister. She had a different perspective than my friends. So giving everybody a feeling of what it's truly like from everybody's perspective, because it is a community around you. Mm-hmm. So when you are lying in the hospital, you can't do anything. Like you're going from 100% to nothing, right? So my husband went from 100% doing his stuff to 100% doing his stuff and my stuff. And he did that for however long he needed to, which was, at least a year or more.
Wow. Well, I forgot to ask this question. Are strokes, like, are they more common in, like, elderly people? I mean, I think you're so right. This is not a subject that you learn about.
Right.
And I think it should be common knowledge. Like, you've taught me so much already, especially about maybe chilling out on my Chardonnay drinking. what are some of the, like, is there, like, an age? Is there something that, like, more common for stroke survivors or people that have strokes? Can you tell me that?
So stroke can happen at any age. So from the time just before you were born to 80 or 90. Most people have strokes at 65 or over. So that's 75% of the strokes. 25% of the strokes are less than 65.
Okay. Which is a very scary statistic.
Yep. And that statistic for strokes is going up for younger people. And I think that's the diet. I think it's because of COVID. I think there are a lot of things.
Is it connected at all to like depression or anything like that?
No, not depression.
Okay. What about like, do you think also the stroke have gone up because of people's sedentary lifestyles and like COVID? Definitely. And being stuck? Okay.
Absolutely.
So all the tips that you've given are really helpful. If I'm trying to think if there's anything like we left out or something that you want to talk about that people should know as far as like what to do if they think they're having a stroke. Like you talked about BFAS. Can you tell me the things to do if you think there's something wrong?
Call 911 immediately.
Call 911. Okay.
Immediately. Yeah.
Because the longer you wait, you talked about it in the beginning, the less of a chance. Talk about that again.
So 1.9 million cells die for every minute you have a stroke.
I've heard before if you can lift your arms or there's different things to look for so you know if somebody's having a stroke. Can you tell me about that?
Okay. So again, it's B for balance. So are they balanced? E for your eyes. Can you see everything around you? Or is one eye seeing funny? Are both eyes seeing funny? Or can you see at all? Right? F is for face. So are you looking at your face and one side is drooping? Right? A is for arm. Can you lift it? Can you lift both of them? Right? S is for speech. So do you have slurred speech?
Speech,
yeah. Is for time.
Okay. That's so important. I hope my audience is listening to this. Marcia, if they want to reach out to you, you talked about your book. Where can my audience find you?
They can find me on strokeforward.com. That's strokeforward.com. And they can email me at marcia@strokeforward.com.
Well, I'm so honored that you came on today. This has been something I've wanted to talk about for a while. I'm always fascinated on learning about subjects that I think everybody should know about. And everybody has a parent or a family friend or somebody that's in their lifetime going to be affected by this. So I think knowing BFAS is so important. Going out and reaching out to Marcia or also buying her book on Amazon.com. She was lovely enough to send me a copy of her book. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're quite welcome.
And in closing, I wanted to say thank you to my listeners. I always appreciate your reviews. So I'll make it fast. If you're listening to me on Apple, you can go onto your app. It's like the little purple app. You scroll down and you can leave me only 5 stars. If you're going to leave me less, do not do that. And don't ever talk to me again or listen to my podcast. I'm joking. And you can write a review, which I would truly appreciate because it helps people find me more easily. And then I hate to say this because we just talked about it, but if you do want to donate to my show, I'm an independent podcaster. You can click on my website, judgingmegan.com. And you can click the buy me a Chardonnay button. I don't really use it. Marcia, I just want you to know this. I don't really use it to buy me a Chardonnay. I use it to help me be able to do the show every week for you all. And I appreciate all of my listeners and my audience. And in closing, thank you again, Marcia, for telling your story. I know you're going to help one or more thousands of people out there, I'm hoping, to be aware of some of the signs of having a stroke. And in closing, be happy by making other people happy.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.